Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here, we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, a school teacher in Savannah was killed in a car crash that involved a man fleeing ICE agents. Georgia leaders are mourning the death of the Reverend Jesse Jackson, and Appalachian high school students take the stand in the trial of the school shooter's father.
Once I registered that it was blood and what exactly it was, my brain kind of blocked it out. And I knew what it was. It was a hole.
Today is Tuesday, February 17th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. An elementary school teacher in Savannah's Chatham County has been killed in a car accident involving a man who is trying to flee immigration agents. The Department of Homeland Security says the suspect was in the U.S. illegally and blames the death of teacher Linda Davis on people who demonize ICE. Savannah Mayor Van Johnson says he knows the Davis family and spent time with them at the hospital after the wreck yesterday.
I've always been and remain very concerned about the activities of ICE in cities. Obviously, very interested in what this individual was wanted for. Did it necessitate the end result? But right now, as a community, I think our highest priority is wrapping our arms around this family, this school, these young people.
The killing has shocked the Hess Elementary community. The school held classes as normal today. Chatham County police arrested 38-year-old Oscar Vasquez Lopez and charged him with vehicular homicide, reckless driving, and other offenses. The Reverend Jesse Jackson has died at the age of 84. The civil rights leader and two-time presidential candidate had deep ties to Georgia, from marching alongside Martin Luther King Jr. to delivering one of the most memorable speeches in American political history. GPB's Pamela Kirkland has more.
Long before he ran for president, Jesse Jackson marched alongside King, including the 1965 march from Selma to Montgomery. Jackson was with him in Memphis the day King was assassinated. The aide to King went on to run for president in the 1980s. In 1988, Jackson returned to Georgia for the Democratic National Convention in Atlanta, where he delivered what became known as the Keep Hope Alive speech.
We must never surrender. America will get better and better. Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive.
Jackson would go on to lose the nomination. Reflecting on his legacy, Atlanta Mayor Andre Dickens called Jackson a great friend to our city. Georgia U.S. Senator Raphael Warnock called him an inspiration.
Here I was, a kid growing up in public housing, and I got to witness this black man running for president. He gave me a glimpse of what is possible, and he taught me how to say I am somebody.
For GPB News, I'm Pamela Kirkland.
Witness testimony continues in the trial of Colin Gray as the case enters its second day. He's been accused of providing his son, Colt Gray, with the rifle used in the 2024 shooting at Northeast Georgia's Appalachian High School. GPB's Chase McGee has more.
Prosecutors spent the morning calling witnesses, including students injured in the classroom where Colt Gray allegedly opened fire and the healthcare workers who treated them at a Northeast Georgia hospital. District Attorney Brad Smith called Natalie Griffith to the stand. Natalie was a freshman in the algebra class that Gray fired into. She was shot in the wrist.
Once I registered that it was blood and what exactly it was, my brain kind of blocked it out. Okay. And I knew what it was. It was a hole.
She suffered permanent nerve damage and lost independent function of her fingers. The state argues that Colt's father, Colin, was criminally negligent and ignored warning signs that his son was a danger to himself and others. For GPB News, I'm Chase McGee.
Another lawsuit has been filed over the 2024 fire at BioLab in Conyers. In a complaint filed last week, Ohio Security Insurance is suing on behalf of a nearby textile business. The insurer says toxic smoke and chemical residue damaged the building and equipment. The lawsuit alleges BioLab and its parent companies were negligent in storing chemicals and failing to prevent water from triggering the fire. It also points to previous fires at the facility. The fire at the chemical plant sent a massive plume of toxic smoke over Rockdale County, forcing evacuations, and it kept residents under a shelter-in-place order for weeks. For more on the case, check out GPB's award-winning podcast, Manufacturing Danger, the BioLab story, wherever you get your podcasts. The Georgia Supreme Court is siding with challengers to a Georgia law that prohibits direct sales of electric vehicles to consumers. The law requires EVs to be sold through dealers, but carves out an exception for one company, Tesla. Another EV company, Lucid Group USA, argued that the law violates a state constitutional protection against so-called special laws. Emory University law professor Alexander Valak says the Tesla competitor has a good case.
Dealers are a very powerful interest group in Georgia, like in other states, and they think that being able to sell direct to consumers is going to be horrible for consumers, but that's not something that we think for any other product, and there's no theoretical reason why it should be true.
In a unanimous ruling today, justices ordered a lower court to consider Lucid Group's claims. The Georgia House has passed a bill that spells out qualifications for recovery community organizations addressing substance use disorder. GPB's Ellen Eldridge reports.
House Bill 657 defines certified peer specialists and establishes requirements for RCOs. It also authorizes the Department of Behavioral Health and Developmental Disabilities to designate a single statewide RCO to coordinate the network. Brian Kite is the Georgia Council for Recovery's RCO Development Manager.
RCOs often act as a bridge between many different resources within the community. A lot of times, different things are operating in silos, and RCOs can help bridge those gaps.
The Senate Health and Human Services Committee is now considering the bill. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
Today is Lunar New Year, and Asian American and Pacific Islander lawmakers mark the start of the Year of the Fire Horse today at the state capitol. Representative Michelle Au says the caucus gave all lawmakers a traditional gift.
You'll notice on your desk there are red envelopes. There is a gold coin in there. Don't worry, it's just chocolate. All ethics are being abided.
Lawmakers also brought a traditional lion dancer to perform in the rotunda to mark the occasion. Georgia has the second largest AAPI caucus in the country. Construction is underway on a fully autonomous on-demand transit system near Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport. California-based mass transit provider Glideways said last week the project will connect the ATL SkyTrain with the Georgia International Convention Center and Gateway Center Arena. Autonomous pods are expected to operate along a dedicated half-mile guideway beginning in December. Georgia's Alana Myers Taylor has finally captured one Olympic medal that has eluded her, gold. The 41-year-old Douglasville resident won the women's monobob title in the Milan Cortina Games by just 0.04 of a second. This is her sixth career Olympic medal, extending her record as the most decorated black athlete in Winter Olympics history. Myers Taylor has now medaled at 5 straight Winter Games. She also becomes the oldest American woman to win gold at the Winter Games. And in baseball, the man known as Ozuna from the Braves is now Ozuna from the Pirates. The Pittsburgh Pirates announced today they're picking up Braves designated hitter Marcell Ozuna on a 1-year contract for the coming season. The deal includes a mutual option for the 2027 season. The 35-year-old is a 3-time All-Star who batted .232 last season. His run ends a tumultuous tenure with Atlanta. He was arrested in 2022 for driving under the influence. The video of the arrest shows him telling the officer he was, quote, Ozuna from the Braves. He entered a no-contest plea and paid a fine. And in 2021, he was arrested on charges of aggravated assault by strangulation and battery after police officers said they witnessed him attacking his wife. Major League Baseball retroactively levied an unpaid suspension against him. And that is it for this edition of Georgia Today. If you want to learn more about any of these stories, check out our website, gpb.org/news. And make sure you come back tomorrow, subscribe to this podcast, you won't miss a thing, and send your feedback our way by email. If you've got any, write to georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks again for listening. We will see you tomorrow.